Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Living Life with Pastor Carolyn. This is co-host Pastor Valerie Burrell. Grateful to be with you all this evening. We're excited. Pastor Carolyn is with us. Good evening, Pastor.
Good evening. How are you all?
Doing wonderful. Praise God. Praise God.
Wonderful.
Amen. We're back this week, and Pastor Carolyn will be leading the study from the book of Ruth. On last week, she began the study with the topic, May the Lord Deal with Me. It was profound. It was eye-opening. I can even call it epic. The things she released regarding the relationship that Ruth had with Boaz. And so I'm excited to hear what you're going to be releasing to us on this evening, Pastor. So I'll turn it over to you at this time. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Valerie. We just want to thank the Lord because so much is going on right now in the earth realm, and so many people are having issues and things are happening. Last week we talked about May the Lord Deal with Me, and we are finding that so many people are asking God questions and speaking with someone today. They said they asked the Lord, why, and why me? And that's one of the things that we had discussed on last week. We had asked God why, and he said, why not? And then when we asked him, why me? He says, why not you? So many times there are things that happen that we try to figure out for him, because I think we discussed last week, we are people who feel better when we know exactly what's going on, how we can handle it. We try to control and manipulate things, and sometimes God just wants us to trust him and have faith on him and believe in him. Last week we were talking about chapter 1, verse 17b, and today we're looking at chapter 2, moving ahead. We found out that it was Naomi and Ruth. Orpah has left them, and we shared that many times people leave us and we don't understand, and some of us don't deal with people leaving. We like to hold on. We feel comfortable with people that we know, people that we are used to being with and being around. But this week we find that that even now, as Naomi and Ruth has left and gone back, you know, to her home town, her husband is dead, her son's dead, and one of her daughter-in-laws is gone, and now Ruth is still staying with her, and she told her that she wouldn't leave her. She wanted to stay where she was and to go where she goes. And so in verse 2 of chapter 2, it says, Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, let me go into the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone whose eyes I find favor. We're finding that there was a famine in Moab, and now they're going back to Naomi's home, and we are finding that she's getting ready to go into a field to gather grain and to gather food for herself and for Naomi. And she said, let me go behind the harvesters. So many times, Pastor Valerie, that there are people, they don't want to go behind the person that is doing the planting and the harvesting, because a lot of people want to be out front. And I find that sometimes we need to be, we work better. I know I feel better sometimes working behind the scene. I don't like to be out front. And she's willing to go into the fields, first of all, and she's willing to pick up leftovers. Some of us don't like leftovers. Sometimes the leftovers is better than the actual meal itself, mm-hmm. but we don't like picking up behind someone. I know sometimes we can get frustrated when we've done housework or whatever, and people, I know I get frustrated when glasses get dirty or there's a wrinkle on the bed or whatever. And then I find out that sometimes things happen for a purpose. Here she is, going into a field, how many of us are really willing to go into the fields of the world and glean behind people who have gone before us just to get something to feed not myself but somebody else? Are we able to put others before we put ourselves? Are we willing to? I don't like to use the term go hungry in order that someone else may eat. But in this time, in this season, we have to push those that are weaker than we are forward, because we find that there is such a gap between the true harvesters, between the true workers. The Bible tells us some plant, some water, and some reap the harvest. Some of us didn't do the work, but we're reaping harvest. There are a lot of mega churches that are reaping harvest that actually somebody else planted. People tend to go where things are easier. A lot of today's church don't like being accountable. They don't like being responsible. We just have to, in this season, I believe, just continue to pray and believe God and do the work. One thing I found, I looked at in this second chapter, Ruth could have been complaining and murmuring about what was going on, where they came from, but she was more interested in what's going to happen where she is. And she it says that in verse 3, that Naomi said to her daughter, "Go ahead, my daughter." How many times have God called us daughter? How many times have he called us by our name? And it says, so she went out and she entered into the field and began to glean behind the harvesters. And it turned out she was working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. Elimelech was the husband of Naomi. He was a relative. And here they are, going to a field where there is a kinsmanship, kinship. And when I looked up the word, I said last week, and I share again, Boaz is a type, a shadow, and a pattern of who God really is to us. He's a representative of God making a way for us. And here she is in a field gleaning somewhere that she doesn't even really basically know where she is. And it says in verse 4, it says, "Just then Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. 'The Lord be with you, and the Lord bless you,' they answered. Boaz asked the overseer of his harvesters, 'Who does that young woman belong to?' The overseer replied, 'She is a Moabite who came back from Moab with Naomi. She said, please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters. She came into the field and has remained here from morning till now, except for a short time of rest in the shelter.'" She's going into a field that she doesn't really know where she is. She's going to gather food, not so much for herself, because it in the scripture it tells that she ate there while she was there. So what she was gathering, she was taking it back so she could feed her mother-in-law and have more, I guess, left over for later. So many times we go to services and we sit, and because a word may be preached that may sound odd to us or not what we want, we tend to sit there and not receive. And I believe that there is something in every message, if no more than the name of Jesus. And we have become very critical of messages. We have become very critical of people. Everybody doesn't plant and harvest like you do or I do.
Amen.
Everybody has different methods, but we have to, I'm finding that we have to be more compassionate and loving to those that may not be where we are, may not think
mm-hmm.
like we think.
Mm-hmm.
So here
Amen.
She is. She's gleaning behind. She didn't ask to go in front of them. She asked to go behind them. Sometimes the best comes from gleaning behind, because if you look at it, the work had already been done. She's just gathering from a process that's already been completed. So she's going behind them and gleaning among the sheaves behind the harvesters. And it showed her work ethic. It said
mm-hmm.
she remained in the field. The overseer said she's remained here from morning till now. So I'm thinking that maybe it had gotten to late afternoon or evening, and says she's only stopped for a short time to rest in the shelter. Sometimes we give up too early. Sometimes if we just push a little bit harder and a little bit farther and just wait and just see what God's going to do. And it says in verse 8, so Boaz said to Ruth, my daughter, listen, how many times has God really touched us, his daughters, his sons, and asked us to listen to him?
Mm-hmm.
I know sometimes
mm-hmm.
we can get caught up in stuff and we don't listen. We hear, but we really don't listen.
Amen.
And if we're not careful, we hear ourselves, and we're not
Amen.
Really hearing God. And so it said he told her, he gave her instructions. And so many times in this season, Pastor, there are so many people running ahead of the instruction. They are processing stuff that has not been properly handled. They are giving immature words. They're immaturely, they're causing all kinds of craziness, and they're saying all kinds of crazy things. In sharing with someone today, as we were sitting and talking, she was saying that her pastor had sent out a note to their church, because so many people, so many pastors and leaders were speaking negatively about the incident, the massacre,
mm-hmm,
the loss
mm-hmm.
of life in Florida, and,
mm-hmm.
and how hurtful some things was, and about one particular person, and the reaction to what was said and what was done. And most of the time, we can embrace somebody drinking liquor better than we can embrace somebody that has a wrong idea about how they choose partners.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody does not receive or see things as we see them, saying that we are believers. And I think that if we're going to do anything in this season, we need to be a light. Sometimes they don't need the word. They don't need us to say anything, just to be the light, because there's so much darkness. Even in the church, there's darkness everywhere. So this is the time for us, the church, to really be the light and to really, really shine. So, excuse me, here she is. She's being a light. She's showing them that she's willing to work. She's willing to do whatever it takes. She'll stay from morning till night. We like the microwave service. We like to go in at 9 and be out by 10, 10:15, 10:30.
Mm-hmm.
We're on way home. Or if something changes, if the Spirit of God comes into the service, we get irritated because
antsy.
We start watching our watch. We get antsy,
mm-hmm.
real antsy.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've seen people when the prophetic or the anointing moves and shifts, some people, for fear that God may speak to them,
mm-hmm.
they get up
get
and leave. Yeah, they have to get out. We should be such a light that people will be drawn to God, drawn to the Spirit of God, and drawn to stay. One of the things I find is that it would be a terrible thing to have cancer and ignore the call to come, the call to go to the doctor, and wait till it's too late, and then we want everybody to stop because we have a diagnosis that doesn't
mm-hmm.
have a good outcome. But
mm-hmm.
all we have to learn how to do is sacrifice and do what's right and take care. Someone spoke to me today. My brother said you need to take care of yourself. You
mm-hmm.
need to I understand what you're doing, but you need to take care of you. And I find out if we take care of us, we are really taking care of the Spirit of God that's in us.
Amen. Amen.
And we find so many leaders that are burning themselves out, basically, trying to build, if I could use the word, an empire. That's a catchy word. Because we have so many people trying to build little empires, and they're really not building the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I read was that we see people and they don't look kingdom. They look
Pastor.
More like the world than they look like the kingdom. And somebody might say, well, what does kingdom look like? They look
mm-hmm,
like God.
Mm-hmm.
They
mm-hmm.
reveal his presence, his spirit.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We shouldn't have to wear a sign or a name tag to tell somebody who we are and what we
Amen.
Do. The people knew who Jesus was. Just
mm-hmm.
his very presence when he was among them, they knew. They even called him the Messiah. They even called him the Son of the Living God. I'm very concerned about in this season. I've really become concerned about how or what do people see when they see me. It's not a good thing to be a goody-goody two-shoe if you're really not going to wear the shoe. Because that shoe fits really, really tight. And that shoe can be very, very uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable.
Yes. And in this season, to walk in the presence of God, to really live a kingdom lifestyle, to really humble ourselves and not have to be right, but what the Bible says: take the wrong for the right's sake.
Mm-hmm.
Willing to just sit back. Sometimes we don't have to argue the point. All we have to do is pray and let God mm-hmm. handle it. I feel that people are making God this mean, hateful, uncaring person, because that's who some of us are. He's calling us to a place of humility, I believe. He's calling us to this place where Ruth was in a field. He's calling us out to a place where we can't figure it out. We can't see it. We don't know the outcome of it. We just have to get in there and work and let him handle the rest. And she, in the part that really got me, said she asked to go behind, not in front of. And that meant a whole lot to me. I don't need to be out front. I need to be exactly
mm-hmm.
where he wants me to be,
mm-hmm.
when
mm-hmm.
he wants me to be. And if that's in the rear, I'm comfortable and I'm happy.
And so be it.
And so, you know, just let me be where he wants me to be. And we have people that are not comfortable with that. If they're not out front, they want to leave. If they're not out front, they get angry. If they're not out front of doing something to be seen, they don't want to be involved. And I think that seeking souls so Hollywoodish, if I could use that. And it's really not, I really believe that it's really not about that. It's really concerning harvesting the souls. And,
mm-hmm.
and I'm sure that when she was harvesting, Pastor Valerie, it wasn't all good grain there. There had
right.
to be some stuff there that really probably didn't belong there. That's why they were sheaving, and that they were doing the work to separate the good from the bad. But you still get it mixed in there. So are we willing to work with the mixed in there people, the people that might have been in pulse?
Wow.
Because we find that they are showing more love than if you really look at it.
Right.
Look at the love that was shown by that community. So my question is, where is the love of the church when we're saying such ugly, mean things? Where is the love of the church when we really need to be a light, to really be harvesting? We didn't have to be out the front. Let their community be out front. But we could be there saying, you know, we're praying for you, and not throwing stuff at them.
Amen.
Because if you look, they're human beings. They're still somebody's child. And the truth of the matter, all of us belong to God. How he sees us is the way he sees us. And that's why I said, when God sees me, what does he really see?
What does he really see?
Who does he see? I mean, is he seeing a reflection of who he is in me? Because that's that light that needs to shine. They don't need a reflection of me. They need a reflection of him. I heard, I can't remember, Pastor, it was in a movie. I can't remember what movie it was, but he said, when I look in your face, I see the face of God. Well, that you lose who you are, and you have the face of God. So when people look at you, they see him and not you. And it's something to really think about. But I'm going to get back to you.
You said so many wonderful things, and much like you, I had some conversations today with some people regarding our place in God and our accountability, and really us surrendering our will to say, okay, whatever it is and wherever it is you want me to be, that's where I'm going to find myself. That's where I'm going to make myself content until you move me. And, you know, when we look at the fact that, as you said, she was humble and she was willing to take instruction. Too often now, people, they want to be connected, but they don't want to be accountable. Here she was wanting to be connected and then being accountable to the instructions. Because when he said, don't leave here, stay right here, she didn't question, well, why can't I leave and why do I have to stay? She didn't question anything.
Exactly.
She did what she was told. And we have people now that you want to give them some instructions so that they can grow and be accountable in the things of God, and they want to get slick out their mouth. You know, they want to come with some comeback and, oh, it's this, and oh, it's that, and oh, I'm praying, because it gets to the place, and I say, God, I know you love me, I know you love them, you don't have any respect to person, and what you're doing in my life, you're able to do in the lives of others. God, I've seen you do it too many times, but when they begin to always push back against the plan of God and what God is speaking for their good, there's a challenge, and that's when it's really time for them to say, okay, God, deal with me, because I'm finding that I'm the common denominator when things go wrong.
Right. And, you know, Pastor Valerie, you were saying just now, they're pushing back. Oftentimes, we're seeing the people, but it was one thing that the Lord reminded me, stop looking at their faces.
And see
who it really is. And we have to understand their enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy.
Absolutely.
And he will do whatever is necessary for him to stop us and stop others. Because when he stops us, he stops others. He will whoever is the weak person at the time will always be the person that it seems to be walking in the adversary's shoes.
Yes.
One thing I share with someone we have to understand that the enemy is strategic. He's precise.
Yes.
He is not playing for hit or miss. He wants to hit, and he wants to kill. And if he
yes.
can kill your desire, if he can kill your hunger, your thirst, your need to be right
real.
With God,
yes. Yes.
to really
mm-hmm.
be real, because when the Lord gave me this thing, it became real to me. I'm not asking God to deal with nobody else. I want him to deal with me. I want people
Amen.
To see the reflection of God, not Carolyn. It's
Amen.
Nice when people say, oh, Pastor Carolyn. No, but I want you to say the Spirit of the living God abides in her. He has control of her. Because when I read on down in that verse, it said he told her to stay here and with the women and who work for me.
Mm-hmm.
He never told her that she worked for him. He said,
exactly.
stay here with the women who work for me.
Work for
and
me.
Said,
mm-hmm.
Watch the field where the men are harvesting and follow along after the women. He put her in the position to see would she obey him. And God
yes.
is speaking to us, but the issue is that we want to be out front so bad. We want to have our way so bad. We're
so
really
bad.
Willing, yeah, to run past the harvesters, to run past the women. And he told us that whenever you're thirsty, go get a drink of water from the water jar that the men have filled. There are explicit, from verse 8 to verse 9, explicit instructions that she had to determine in her mind she was going to follow. And many times we add a little bit of sugar and we add a little bit of baking soda and the biscuit get bigger or it don't rise at all because we've manipulated the instruction. God has instruction, if you want to use the word recipe, he has a recipe to get us from where we are to where he really intends for us to be.
Amen.
But sometimes it's taking the back road instead of the front road. Sometimes it's stepping aside and let somebody else pass, and you just hold up and let them go, and he'll fix it. And it said in verse 10, at this, when he finished talking to her, she bowed her face down to the ground and asked him, why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner? We got to remember that we are
Jesus.
Adopted into this thing. We were basically the foreigners. And how come he's speaking to us even as he speaks to his real children? How come he's using us just like he's using his real children? Because the truth of the matter is that we are all striving to please God. One thing I found out about Jesus, and I see, he was so determined to please his Father. Nothing else mattered. Even when the enemy tried to tell him, say you can rule the whole world, you can turn the bread and stone into bread, you can do this, and he was trying to make him step out of the position of a son, in order to make him feel like he could rule. And this is what happens to some of us: we step out of the sonship and want to be the ruler.
Oh, Jesus.
We want to be king. I remember Lion King. Mustafa wanted to be the king.
Yes.
He was willing to kill his brother to become the king.
Yes.
Are we really willing? Are we really healing our sisters and brothers? Are we really killing them because we want to be in charge? Have we sacrificed them? And we find that so many people are sacrificing. It's almost like a I can't even put a word to it. It's seeing who can run
yeah.
the quickest. And you see how people, they will run sometime and they're pushing the other person out the way, or they're tripping them up, or they want to win so bad they'll do anything dirty just to
yeah.
get to win. And then after they win, what have they accomplished? Because just like I shared with a student one time, I said, if you sit beside someone and they're doing the work and you're cheating off their papers, and if someone asks you the question, will you really be able to answer it?
Right. Amen.
Because when you try to operate off somebody else's stuff, you really mess up. Pastor Val, I'm going to stop now. My time is leaving. Yeah.
Yes, it's good. We thank you all for joining us tonight. We pray that as you listen in the archives that this teaching will be a blessing to you, and we encourage you to join us again next week for another episode of Living Life with Pastor Carolyn. God bless you all.
God bless you all. Good night.
Good night.